Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, I'm Shu Allegra, founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. And if you've listened or watched us before, you probably know the next thing I'm going to say. Everything we do here evolves around resilience. And so I'm inviting new friends to the table to kind of have this conversation about what would resilience look like in their lives, you know, for the things they've been through or things that are how the work that they do. So today I have Lorraine Siegel with me. Welcome, Lorraine.
Hi, Shu. It's great to be here with you.
Same here. It's excited to have you. And I can't wait to dig a little deeper and get to know you better, know you more, and share the wealth of knowledge that you are with our audience.
Awesome. I'm ready.
So yeah, so let's just, you know, jump right in. Do you mind sharing just who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, my name's Lorraine Siegel. I, as I was telling you before we started, it's amazing that I can say my day job now is conflict transformation. I do coaching and consulting and training for organizations to help them navigate conflict better, and I write a blog about it. And so that is a whole journey how I got there, and you know, and I love the work that I do. And I got called to write a memoir about my experiences and my life, so that's the other part. A big part of who I am right now is finishing this book called Angels and Earthworms, An Unexpected Journey to Joy, Love, and Miracles, which definitely I could have put resilience in there too.
I mean, the title alone screams resilience, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it has resilience written all over it without even putting it there.
Definitely. Very good. I'm glad it comes across that way. And I live in Northern California, in beautiful Sonoma County. It's one of the most the prettiest counties in the entire world, in my opinion, with oceans and forests and vineyards. And so I am a very lucky person.
So you make me jealous. Like, I love PA, but I have to say that the winter is not my friend. So I'm sure California will definitely be warmer and better for my liking. But here I am in PA. So I love how you introduce your work as conflict transformation and not conflict resolution, because that's what people are used to. So if you might just kind of unpacking that for us, why that choice of words?
Yes, absolutely. Well, when I started in the field, I called it conflict resolution. And then I started calling it conflict management. And it was actually just a few weeks ago that I heard someone in a professional meeting call it conflict transformation. And I went, conflict transformation, that's it. That's actually what I do. So I've been putting it on all my writing and using it wherever, because what I do with people, you know, conflict is a part of our lives. It's it's part of being human. And we have to accept that rather than going, what's wrong? I'm in conflict. It's just part of being human. But the goal is to transform it from something that's full of anger and bitterness and misunderstandings and judgments and assumptions and biases, and transform it into, I see things differently from you. We have different stories. We have different ways of approaching our work and our lives. Can I be curious about you? Can you be curious about me? And can we forgive each other and communicate better?
Wow. Yeah. And as you're sharing, I'm like, again, can't help but see resilience in that, because in order to make it that point where, you know, we're forgiving and moving forward and maintaining a relationship, you have to be, not only you build resilience as you go, but you become more resilient as a result, you know?
Yes. And you have to start with self-love, which I think is part of resilience, you know, because one of my favorite quotes is, well, other people have said it too, but Melanie Beatty said, I make mistakes. I am not a mistake. And so many of us think we are mistakes. You know, we get these messages that we're bad or we're supposed to be perfect. And the more I can recognize and help my clients and students recognize that it's human to make mistakes, it's part of our whole process, the more that is connected to resiliency. And can I tell you a little story about
Yes, please go ahead.
Well, in my other life, before I found the conflict transformation field, I was a tenured professor and taught English as a second language at a community college.
Nice.
And I started talking to my students every semester, the first week, about mistakes. Mm-hmm. I wrote about this in my memoir book, too. Mm-hmm. I say, let me talk to you a minute about mistakes. And they'd sort of look up, huh? She's going to.
Yeah, what's she going to say?
Right. And I said, you could sit in class all semester and not write anything and not open your mouth and say anything, and you wouldn't make any mistakes. And their eyes would get really big. And I'd say, do you think you'd be making the best use of your time? Would you be learning as much as you could in the class? And they'd go, no. And I'd say, that's because humans make mistakes. That's how we learn.
From the process.
To make many mistakes in this class. I make mistakes every day and you get to make them too. And they'd be like blown away.
Right. Oh, that's so beautiful though. Because I think, like you said, we as human, we often let the voices in our head, right? You know, play over and over again that tell us we have to be perfect. We have to do it this way and that way. And we're so hard on ourselves. And the harder you are on yourself, the harder it makes it to connect with others. Because all you see is mistakes on you. I will see in that case, well, mistaking myself and mistaking others, then there goes the conflict, right?
Yeah, and there goes the rigidity. That's the opposite of resilience. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's been so interesting for me, Shu, personally. You know, I did a lot of work on this and affirmations and therapy and recovery and everything. And then when I started my own business, it was like, the reset button. You know, there I was. I've got to make more money. I've got to prove I'm good enough. I've got to, you know, all of these kinds of things that were very perfectionist, bad messages for myself. Yeah. And I worked that through a lot. And then writing the book, oh my goodness.
Is
there going to be good enough? Where do you think you are to write a book? You know, all these things. It's like,
how dare you put all of this out there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You got it. Yes.
Got it. Yeah. No, I hear you. And often when I work with authors, like I'm author and publisher myself, I often say, don't realize how much inner work goes through putting a book out, writing a book and getting it published. And
so much.
In the beginning, people are like, right. And they just, they hear it, but they don't actually hear it. Like, you know, and to be still going through that. And then, they're like, oh my goodness, I am learning to, you know, to literally silence the voices in my head and affirm myself through this process and give myself a voice and realize that what I have to bring to the table is something of value that the world needs. And I'm like, exactly. That's the inner work, not just, you know, time management to make time to work, you know, time to write per se. But it's like the inner work that happens, you become a better and stronger person, more resilient person, just because you're choosing to put something out there for everyone in the universe to benefit from.
Absolutely.
You know, it's better work.
For me, one of the things that helped is that I learned how to dialogue with the goddess as I, you know, and I have gotten, she has said so many amazing things to me that helped me believe in myself and believe in the value of what I'm doing. And that really helps too, because you have to, I think it's not just about shutting up the negative voices. It's about replacing them with positive ones. And I actually, if people sign up for my, it's called the Bookie Chronicles newsletter for my book, I give them an article that's called Conflict in the Inner Critic.
Ooh,
and it's about it's about how I made friends with my inner critic. And she has a name, her name is Gremly. You know, like inner people talk about inner gremlins. So her name is Gremly. And she's always telling me, you better not do that. You better not be too big. You better not. And it's because she's scared. And so now I've gotten to the point, I don't shut her up. I just say, oh, honey, do you need a hug? Let me give you a hug.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Wow. But there's so much science behind what you're saying. I'd like to put my, you know, mental health professional hat there, is that when you, not only like back to the idea of, say, you have to replace it, because our brains don't like void. Think about it. When someone say, don't do that, all you're hearing is, don't do that, right? But if I say, don't do that, but do this instead, then you can focus on something else. That's so when somebody is moving to like changing a bad habit, you need to replace it with a good one. Otherwise, you're going to find another bad one So that is good. Like, you know, that's how our brains are wired. It's always, you know, to find, we need a replacement at all times when we're changing from, you know, something that's, you know, less beneficial to us to something that will be better for us. Meaning yes. also with kind of giving, you know, your inner critic a hug, it's so, so powerful, because often we spend so much energy trying to silence it. And, you know, like, I'm just, and by silencing here, I mean, like, suppressing it, not acknowledging a feeling, not acknowledging those fears that we have, and just I pretend they're not there, and then they blow up out of proportion and create, you know, just wreak havoc in our life, right? But if we take the time to, like, you know, just acknowledge that it's there, I'm feeling, you know, this is how I'm feeling. Yeah, I'm just, that inner critic just scared. Now let's nurture that. If I'm exactly. scared, what do I need in this moment? Maybe I need mm-hmm. reassurance. I need more support. I need a little bit more research. So you kind of, you start meeting the need that is coming through the inner critic per se.
Yes.
And so that I love how you said, I just know sometimes you have to give that inner critic a hug and say, oh, I need one as a hug to remind me that I got this. I can keep going.
Yes. And I think part of it too is, you know, a lot of us act like we think we're human doings, mm-hmm. you know, like our value is based on how many people do we help? How kind are we? What, you know, how many pages did we write? Whatever.
Right, right.
And the goddess once said to me, which I loved, she said, I love you just as much if you hide under the covers all day. And I really like that, because, you know, my value is not based on what I do.
Yeah.
I want to be of service. I have so much fun mm-hmm. helping people, and I have joy in creativity.
Yeah.
But if I just sat here and did nothing for 8 hours, I would still be loved. I'm still okay. Mm-hmm. I still have value. I'm still good enough to be here on the planet.
To be a human being. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think especially in our modern society, you know, it's just like, you know, I think, you know, if we talked earlier, me being like originally from Africa and came here in the US when I was younger, I think at 10, and then went back, came back, and then been here in the US for the past 18 years. And I see the difference where, yes, in some of, you know, just thinking like rich from Congo, where, you know, a lot of the culture is like you have time to just sit and be. And often yeah. because there's not as many opportunities. And, right. You know, it's not always by, you know, by preference per se. But then what I see here is the over extreme, where it's like, because there's so many opportunities, so many things we can do, and then we just do, we forget to be and connect and be human. You know, exactly. It's like, you know, we're just looking for one more thing to do and check the boxes, right? Or all the things we can accomplish at the end of the day. But I love how you said about love. It's that at the end of the day, love does not measure what you did. Love measure who you are, and it just love you as you are. You know, and that, you know, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think all of us would be healthier and more resilient if we did more of the being rather than the doing. All of
it's
us.
It's true. We're really unbalanced in this culture. And I still am too.
Yeah,
but
same here.
You know, I have these huge long to-do lists. And then I remind myself, I'm not a human to-do list. Oh, and, you know, one thing I do with my to-do list, I have it divided in three sections for the week.
Yeah.
One is, you know, work, business, writing, book, that stuff. Then I have personal and family. Mm-hmm. And then I give the goddess a to-do list too.
Mm-hmm.
And her list is manage all outcomes, love, support, and guide me, mm-hmm. et cetera. And it does help me find a little bit of balance when I remember all the things I'm not in charge of.
I know that's why I love the Serenity Prayer, right? It's like, you know, knowing yes. the difference, what I can do, what I cannot do. And sometimes, and I know for me too, like just with my faith, it's letting it to God to take care of you, because I can do, or you can do everything as you think you should do, check all the boxes and still not meet the outcome, right? Because we're just human.
We are human. Yeah.
And there's beauty in that. It's beauty in accepting our humanity. And then I think that helps us accept humanity in others, which again reduces the conflict among people. But also even
exactly.
as I accept my own humanity, it kind of lessens the inner conflict between myself.
Absolutely.
Within myself.
You know, from my perspective, and other experts do agree with me, different percentages, mm-hmm. but about 90% of conflict is internal.
Yes.
It's
yes.
how we think about ourselves, what we think about the other person, mm-hmm. what story we tell about the situation.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't really like doing mediation, because if you just mm-hmm. walk into a mediation, people are so mad at each other.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
hardly get anything done. Yeah, but
yes.
when I can coach them, you know, give them a lot of support and mm-hmm. empathy, and then say, that sounds so hard. I can see, you know, and understand and ask questions. And then I say, so how might the other person be seeing it? Because I guarantee they're not seeing it the way you are.
Right.
And it's so powerful to do that.
Yeah. I think that goes back to those voices in the head as well, because often the inner critic, again, is acting up, right, and internally. And even how when we focus so much on how we see it, and now how the other people, the other person sees it, because we are focused on what our voices, the voice in the head are telling us.
Yes. It's so true.
It becomes harder to see the whole perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
I try to unpack that with people.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful to do that. And, yes. And you know what else that mm-hmm. I think relates to resiliency as well is I had my own spiritual forgiveness mm-hmm. and letting go of resentment practice. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I started teaching the conflict transformation and coaching individuals, I realized that I had to do forgiveness work with them. Mm-hmm. Because if you're holding on to a grudge or resentment, you can't resolve a conflict.
No, never.
And that also led me to doing sometimes inner child work, because mm-hmm. who's the one who's so mad? It's the five-year-old who wants to take their toys and go home. It's not the 45-year-old.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, come back with some of the trauma work that I do, sometimes that 44-year-old, 45-year-old, you know, might appear, you know, physically as a 45-year-old, but there's an emotional wound that happened at five and they got stuck there. So when a novel situation happened at 45 that resembles what happened at five, they go back there and they hide in
that
five. They get triggered. Absolutely. And then they hide into the five-year-old. No, and the five-year-old comes out. It's like that wound was never dealt with. And then it's not consciously, like the people don't know that it just happens, but that's how our brain again are wired. So it's good to go back to the 5 or 6, 7-year-old, to go back to those inner voices. It's like the inner child and start nurturing that. And that's how we heal. So that if I can start healing myself, you know, going through those wounds that I had personally and nurturing those wounds and finding healing, it becomes easier then to extend that forgiveness to someone else.
It absolutely is. And one of the short workshops I teach that I also incorporate into longer trainings mm-hmm. is on hot buttons, emotional triggers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I got the basic idea from some other folks. I didn't invent it, but there's a 5-stage process that you can go through. The first is, what is it that's triggering you? Can you name it?
Yeah.
You know, and then the second one is, what's the message you're telling, the storyline in the present that you're telling yourself about what happened? You know, mm-hmm. they must think I'm really stupid or whatever. And then the third step is, has this ever happened before that you
there you go
message, yeah. you know, as a 5-year-old or mm-hmm.
you know, just yesterday or the day before
or yesterday exactly and then step four is if you're misinterpreting what they're saying, you know, then can you come up with a more benevolent reason for what they're saying,
right?
Or a more benevolent message, a more benevolent story to tell yourself. And then the fifth one is act as if it's true.
Love it. Oh my God. Love it.
And it's a short workshop. I mean, as I said, I folded into a longer training on conflict transformation and difficult conversations and things like that. But that one piece is so powerful because it gets at, without using the word trauma or anything like that, it does get
that's
at
a whole hot
some
button
of those
by itself.
wounds, right. It gets at the wounds as you talked about them.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I know when I don't do the work of conflict transmission as much as you do, but when it comes up in any session, you know, conversation, often I use similar approach of asking people, ask yourself, what might be going on with them that you did not see? Or what might be going with them? Like if you were in their shoes, what might lead you to act or say these things? And they're like, well, we're taking those steps. I'm like, no, I'm not taking those steps. I'm helping all of us have a bigger, see the bigger picture and have a different perspective.
Yes.
Like, you're right. Like we don't get to that point until they start exploring what's going on with themselves first. And so they can, you know, and deal with that and then be able to reflect or examine what might be going with the other person and then extend empathy.
Yes, it's true. And one of the ways that I teach some of this material, it's so funny. I don't know if you've heard of the classic samurai film Rashomon.
No.
Well, it was a brilliant creative film from years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And what it did was it told the same story from three different characters' perspective.
Wow.
So you think you understood what happened, and then you hear it, you see it again from a different person's perspective, and it completely shifts. And there's even, they call it the Rashomon effect. And so I show the movie poster, and then I explain about it and talk about how these different stories that we craft, they're just stories. They're not the truth. And when we can open that up, that there's multiple stories, it is amazingly healing.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't know about the movie, but as you're talking, it makes me think of, I'm not sure how, what it's called, and I can't think of the right name, but it's, there's an old story, I guess, I think it was from India or Asia, somewhere, where it, you know, it tells, like, it's all about a parable, if you want, of, you know, three people looking at an elephant, and each one of them are positioned differently, right? And so if you're standing in front of the elephant, all you see is the trunk. If you're standing in the back, all you see is the tail. If you're on the side, you're seeing the full abdomen, right? And so each person is going to be describing what they see in front of them. And that's how we approach life. That's how we approach relationship. That's how we approach work. That's how we approach parenting. That's how we approach even healing. It's like you're only seeing it from your perspective. No, and although it's not, no, that perspective is not completely false. It's just partial.
Right? Exactly.
And each
person completes
the picture. If you can get every person's perspective, then you get the full picture. So same thing, though, I guess, you know, when we're dealing with, you know, conflict, it's kind of like getting that full picture by acknowledging and respecting each person's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, we all become better humans with more love, more empathy, more understanding, and again, more resilient.
Yes.
Yeah. Love it.
Well,
love
you know, some people have a demographic that they work with. And I learned this other term, which is a psychographic, you know, and because I've worked with teenagers, I've worked with elders, I've worked with corporate people, I work with homeless women.
And here, it's like anyone, everyone who needs it.
And what I realized is, for me, what people have to have, the quality or ability people have for me to work with them, is they have to be willing to look at their part. And they have to be willing to change just a little bit. None of us really, I mean, some of us are better at change than others, but all of us reach those points where, no, I don't want to do things differently.
You're all of a comfort zone. Exactly. Change is hard. Even the smallest one. Definitely.
Yes.
Oh, just loving this conversation. But all good things have to come to end. But I want to touch on your book first. So when is it coming out? Where could people get it?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. It is called Angels and Earthworms, An Unexpected Journey to Joy, Love, and Miracles. And I don't have a release date yet. It will be later this year, but we're still going back and forth with the final editing in this. But I do have a newsletter that people can sign up for, and they can get that article on the Inner Critic. And then I will let them know when the book is out. And guess what? If they agree to write a review, everyone can get a free copy.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, and the place to sign up is, it's called booklingpress.com. So it's HTTPS, you know, call them back, Bookling Press, with book with a ling, like duckling, booklingpress.com.
Beautiful.
And I welcome all your wonderful listeners and watchers to sign up for it.
Definitely. Oh, I'm excited. And so, you know, can't wait to read it. And I'll definitely be signing up myself. And I encourage everyone listening to do the same. And
so now to
get the book later, but also not to get that, you know, article you wrote about Inner Critic. I think that's Inner Conflict. That's so needed. And we all can benefit from that.
Yeah. And if people are interested in my conflict transformation work, I do have a website and a blog for that. It's at conflictremedy.com.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, and that was my next question. How can people connect with you and kind of, you know, benefit from the other side of what you do?
Yeah, you can contact me through my website, which is conflictremedy.com. And soon I will have web pages up for the book. This is all happening at once while I'm running my business. So
there you go. But you're working on it, and we can't wait to support you and learn from you.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you, Shu.
Same here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all that you do. And for everyone, you know, listening, be well. And again, you are resilient. You just have to walk it out.
Yay.